Welcome to Session 5 of this guide to your Acorn computer system. Let's start straight away. Hold down R and switch on your computer. We've seen how to copy individual files and directories, so in this session I want to look at backing up whole disks. You may have noticed the Backup option on the disk menu, and we'll be using that to make a copy of the support disk which we can work on during the next few sessions. Now, you can only use backup if both the original disk and the one you're going to use for the copy have the same format, so let's check that. Put the support disk into the :0 drive, then click on the drive icon with menu, go to Format, then across to check the current format of this disk. Well, the support disk is an 800K disk, half the size of the application disk, which means before we continue, you'll have to format another disk with this same format. So, take out the support disk, replace it with your second blank disk, and from the disk format menu, select exactly the same format. Stop the tape while you do that, and start it again when the new disk is ready. Now to make the backup. Put the support disk back in the drive, move onto the drive icon, and use menu to click on it. And from the menu, select Backup. The backup window asks you to insert the source disk into drive :0. Well, that's the support disk you've just inserted, so click on OK to start. The computer first reads a copy of the contents of that disk in its memory, and gives you a progress report as it goes. Now, while it does that, here's a tip. When you're making copies of disks, it's essential to keep track of which is the source and which is the destination. Otherwise, it's all too easy to destroy the very files you're trying to back up. It's a good idea always to write protect the disk you're copying before you start. Well, when it's read the disk, RiskOS will prompt you to put in a destination disk, the one you want to hold the copy. Take out the support disk, replace it with the new disk, and click to continue. And that's all there is to it. But it's important to get into the habit of making backup copies of all your work you do on your computer. There's nothing so frustrating as accidentally deleting your only copy of something vital, as you'll discover the first time you do it. Backup makes an exact duplicate of your original disk, and it's ideal for making working copies of your master disks. If your working copy gets damaged, you'll always have the original to fall back on. By the way, depending on the memory capacity of your machine, you may need to do the copying in two stages. Don't worry, just swap disks and click to continue when the computer tells you. If you need to, click on OK to close the backup window and continue. Now that you've made a copy of the support disk, it's a good idea to relabel it Guide Copy Disk and name it Guide Disk using the Name Disk option. Remember, click on the disk icon with the menu button, then use Name Disk to type in the name. And if you haven't already done so, I suggest you make copies of all the master disks that came with your computer, including a fresh working copy of the support disk, because we'll be changing this guide version as we go. Switch the tape off now while you do that, and don't forget to label the copies correctly. For the rest of this course, you should use the working copy of your disks, and keep the originals somewhere safe. In fact, it's a good idea to keep all your master disks away from the copies, and don't be tempted to use them again unless your working copy gets damaged. You can always make another working copy from the original later if you need to. If you have a hard disk, you'll need a separate backup strategy for that. Remember, a hard disk can hold many times as much information as a floppy, so your risk is that much greater, and it's vital to get into the habit of backing up your work. try to organize your data files into separate directories and make regular copies of them onto floppy disks. If possible, try to keep your directories small enough to let you back them up individually onto a single floppy disk. Or as an alternative, you may prefer to get a special backup program which can store the contents of your hard disk as a sequence of floppy disk-sized chunks. Well, much of what we've been doing so far has concerned the housekeeping jobs, the various jobs you have to do just to keep on top of the work you do on your computer. But there's more to computing than housekeeping, so the rest of this course concentrates much more on running applications and looking particularly at what makes RISC OS programs special. The clock and calc applications we ran earlier are very simple, so let's try something a bit more complex. Click Select on the Apps icon to open up a directory display for it. One of the major applications is Alarm. Move onto the icon for Alarm and use Select to double-click on it to run that application. As with Calc earlier, Alarm first installs itself as a clock icon on the icon bar at the bottom of the screen. If you look closely, you'll see this clock is actually running and showing the time set on your computer's internal clock. In fact, the time setting is one of the things you can change with the Alarm application. Move down to the icon bar and use Menu to click on the Alarm icon. And from the menu, choose Set Clock. As you do, a dialog box opens up, a window which shows you the current settings and gives you a chance to change them. Here you can see the current setting of the hour and minutes, the day, the month and the year. And for each, there's a pair of arrows to move the setting forwards or backwards. You can also set your Acorn system clock from the standard GMT, Greenwich Mean Time, to BST, British Summer Time. Try that. Click on the box marked BST. As you do, the asterisk ticks the box to show when BST is set, and the time changes in step. Well, we won't change the time here because the special R power on we're using at the beginning of each session resets the clock to the standard settings anyway. But this is something you might like to come back to when you finish this guide. So, instead of clicking on Set, just close the window and we'll move on. Well, that's how to set the clock. But what about setting the alarm? Move down onto the icon bar again, and this time click on the clock icon with Select. And another dialog box opens up, this time inviting you to key in some settings for the alarm clock. And I want you to do just that. As you can see, you can arrange for a three-line message to display at the set time, or to have the alarm repeat at whatever intervals you specify, or even to have another application start at the set time. Well, let's keep it simple. Move to the pair of arrows just to the right of the time display at the top of the window, and click on the rightmost of the pair three times. This advances the alarm setting by 3 minutes. Now move your pointer into the box marked Save and click on that, and you've set the alarm to go off sometime in the next 3 minutes. Let's run another application. Move onto the icon for Configure, and this time use Adjust to double-click on it. The directory display disappears, because you used Adjust rather than Select, and the Configure icon is installed on the icon bar. But notice the Alarm icon is still ticking away on the icon bar, so the Alarm program is still running, and it will keep running until you remove it from the computer's memory. You may also notice that the icon's border has changed color to show that the alarm is set. It's the job of RISC OS to make sure that both programs run happily together, that each one gets the information it needs from you, and that each one uses the screen to give you information when it needs to. By the way, when the alarm reaches the set time and the alert window opens up, just click on the Windows Close icon to switch it off again. Now, Everything we've done so far has assumed that your Acorn computer is configured to work just the way it left the factory, and that's obviously important while you're following this guide to learn the basics. But as you get used to working on your own, you'll develop your own personal ways of doing things, and you'll be pleased to know that you can reconfigure the way your computer works to match. Configure is the application that lets you do that, so let's run it now. Find the Configure icon on the icon bar and click on it. You can use Configure to personalize various parts of the computer's hardware, things like the printer, the mouse, keyboard, and so on, as well as the way things operate, such as the alarm sound and how Windows work. Now, a number of these Configure options let you make quite complex modifications or make a wide variety of changes, and we won't be going into all of them now. But you can get an idea of the principles from just a couple of examples, so let's have a look at just a few of the things you can change with Configure. Move your pointer onto the Configure icon for Mouse, and click on it with Select. As with most Configure options, you get another dialog box, in this case, giving you options for how you want your mouse to work. For example, look at the row of buttons marked Mouse Speed. Click in one of the empty buttons and move your mouse around. And immediately, you've changed your mouse's response speed. Try a few alternative settings to find the mouse speed that's right for you. By the way, if you've ever had problems with the double-click, you may be pleased to see you can change that too. The double-click delay setting varies how long a gap you're allowed between the two clicks, and that's just the sort of thing you might want to come back and look at later. Okay, when you're ready, click on the Close icon, and we'll try something else. Let's look at the screen settings. Move onto the icon for Screen, and click on it. Most of the time, you're not likely to change the monitor type setting here, unless you change your monitor, of course. But one setting you might like to change is the blank delay. This lets you specify whether you want the screen to blank if you're not doing anything, so let's try it to see how it works. Click once on the right arrow next to the blank delay box until the setting reads 30 seconds, and let go of the mouse. Letting the screen blank itself is a good idea, especially where you tend to leave the same application running for long periods of time. Over a long enough period, the application's image can tend to become burned into the screen, so that you can still see it even when the monitor is turned off. Well, obviously that reduces the life of your monitor, so setting the screen up to blank if nothing happens for, say, 30 seconds, is a useful way of protecting it. And it doesn't cause a problem, because the picture will return immediately you press a key or move the mouse. Try that. Wait until the screen goes blank, then just press one of the shift keys or move the mouse a fraction to restore it. Well, for the rest of this program, we'll want to leave the blank set off. So click on the left arrow once to set it back to off, then click on the close icon for this window. And what about the windows themselves? Click on the icon marked Windows to open the Window Manager dialog box. Interactive file copying is what lets you get on with other work while RiskOS copies files. It's a good example of where you need to weigh up your priorities and decide how you prefer to work. If you don't mind a short interruption while files copy, so long as the copying goes as fast as possible, you may wish to have this set off. Alternatively, if you don't care how long copying takes, so long as it doesn't interrupt your other work, then set it on. The instant dragging options are easier to understand if you try them out. Click on the box marked None. And now, press and hold on the Window Manager's title bar, and drag it around the screen. Notice that now you're only dragging around an outline of the window, not the window itself. Let go, and the window snaps across to the new position. Again, this is a matter of choice. Outline dragging is faster, because RiskOS doesn't have to redraw the window all the time. So if speed is vital to you, it's a preference you may want to keep. One last change. In the area headed Allow Windows Off Screen, there are two settings. Click on each to set them both off. And move the window around the screen once more. This time, notice that you're now restricted by the screen's edge. You can't move the window beyond it. OK, once more, when you're ready, click on the Close icon for this window. Now, there are two things to notice about the configuration options you're changing now. Most of them happen immediately, and all of them are relatively permanent. In other words, the changes you make don't stop when you switch the computer off, because they're stored in a part of the memory that's powered by the battery. And that's why we've asked you to start each session so far with the special RPowerOn. RPowerOn resets all the configure options to their factory settings. Now, we'll be coming back to some of the other options later, things like printer, memory, and fonts configuration, and others you're less likely to want to change, the disk or network configuration, for example. But there's just one more thing worth looking at before we close this application, and that's the chance to configure the applications themselves. Click on the Applications icon in this window. This dialog box lets you specify which of the inbuilt applications you want to start running each time you switch your computer on. Now, how many of them you set on here depends on your computer's memory. But Calc, say, is an example of an application that's small enough and useful enough to start up each time you switch on. Well, we won't do that. But you might like to come back and set this or other configure options on your system after you've finished this introductory guide. For now, though, go down to the Configure icon on the icon bar and click on it with Menu. And from the menu, choose Quit. And that's all for this session. So when you're ready, check the disk drive is empty, switch off, and have a break. I want to start this session with two applications, Calc and Configure, running on the icon bar simultaneously. Stop the tape while you use the RPowerOn, then open the Apps directory display, and use Select to install both those applications. I said earlier that the number of applications you can have running together depends on the size of your computer's memory, so it may be helpful to see just what's going on. Check the Calc and Configure icons are successfully installed on the icon bar, and then close the Apps directory display. Put your pointer onto the icon at the right-hand end of the icon bar, the acorn symbol. That's the Task Manager icon, and it gives you a way of seeing how your system is working. Click on that icon with Select, and you'll see what I mean. Well, what opens up looks a bit like part of the control panel of a power station, and in many ways that's what it is. Let's have a closer look at it. Move up to the Toggle Size icon, in the top right corner of the window, remember, and click on it. Well, that makes the window fill the screen, but I want you to be able to see the icon bar. One way to do that would be to use the Adjust Size icon in the bottom right corner to move the window higher up the screen. But I want to show you a shortcut. Hold down a Shift key, either one will do, and still holding it, press the function key marked F12 in the very top row of the keyboard. Immediately, the icon bar pops up over the window at the bottom of the screen, and that's a very useful tip. It means that however full your screen may become, you can always call up the icon bar with a single keystroke. And it works the other way too. Try it. Shift F12 once more, and the icon bar pops back. Again, and there it is. There are several combination keystrokes that do a job immediately, without you having to find a menu or select an action. Function keys can really speed up your work when you get used to using them, so it's worth checking with your applications to see if they use any such combinations. For now, though, make sure the icon bar is visible, and we'll get back to making sense of the task display. The display is divided into three sections: application tasks, module tasks, and system memory allocation. You can see in the application tasks area at the top of the screen that there are two applications running, calculator and configure, and how much memory each of them takes up. Now, we've met K before. It's used as a measurement of size, 1K, or 1 kilobyte, being equivalent to about 1,000 bytes. Now, if you don't already know what a byte is, don't worry. You really don't need to, any more than you need to know that a yard is the distance from the king's nose to his fingertips. But you do need to be able to gauge relative sizes. And you can see here that the configure application is taking up very much more of the computer's memory than the calculator program. You get a visual impression of that from the bars on the bar graph to the right of the application title. So, if the computer tells you it hasn't got enough memory for some reason, this would help you work out why. Underneath, the display tells you how much memory is set aside for the next application you run, and how much is still free after that. Let's close one of those programs to see how it affects this display. Move your pointer down onto the calculator icon on the icon bar. Then click Menu on it, and there are only two options here, move on to Quit. But before you click on it, keep an eye on the Application Tasks display at the top of the screen, and now click on the mouse button. Immediately the calculator memory is released, and the space available to Next and Free increases to take it up. Okay, we've finished with the icon bar for now, so use Shift-F12 to put it back. I've referred to the Task Manager display, but you can actually use this display to adjust and control what's going on in your computer. Try this. Move your pointer onto the word Configure at the top of the screen, and use Menu to click on it. You get the Task Manager menu, with the third line offering you a submenu of options for the Configure task. Move across to open that submenu. Well, there is only one option, to Quit, so choose that. As the application closes, the memory is released into the Next and Free area. And that's another way of closing down an application, though you'd normally only use it in emergencies. Now, because different Acorn computers have different amounts of memory, you often need to know how much memory you have available to you. Task Manager gives you a quick way to check on that, so let's do it now. Move across to the scroll bar on the right of the window, and press and hold to grab the slider, and drag it right down to the bottom of the scroll bar. Right at the bottom of the display, you can see the total size of your system's memory. It'll be either 1024K, or 2048K, or 4096K, depending on whether it's a 1, 2, or 4 megabyte system. Most of the time, you can work with your computer without worrying about how that total is shared between the different tasks. But there will be times when you'll want to take a bit more control over how your system is working, so it's worth spending a bit of time seeing the principles now. Notice that the bars on the bar graph are in different colors, and the darker, red ones are the ones that you can adjust with your pointer. Let's try that now. I want you to change the amount of memory allocated to the RAM disk. That's just above the line Applications Free. To do that, place your pointer on the figure 0K at the end of the line. Then, without touching any of the buttons, slide the pointer along to the right, keeping its tail just inside the Applications Free bar. Now, with the tail still inside the lower bar, and about halfway along, press and hold on Select. In a moment, a new bar for the RAM disk should appear, with its tip under the tip of your pointer. Well, if nothing happened, your pointer is probably a bit too high or too low, so stop the tape while you try again and experiment until you get it right. OK, let go of the mouse button. As you can see, the memory now allocated to the RAM disk has reduced the amount of memory left free for applications, which might be a problem on small systems. On the other hand, press Shift F12, and the new RAM icon on the left of the icon bar confirms you've now set up a whole new filing system, separate from the disk and the apps filing systems. This new filing system can be very useful, as you'll see in a moment, and it illustrates the whole point of the Task Manager. It lets you fine-tune your system as you go along. Well, let's adjust the RAM disk allocation. Move your pointer onto the tip of the RAM disk graph bar and press and hold it. Now drag the end of that bar left and right slowly. As you do, the amount of memory allocated to RAM disk changes in step. Well, I want you to set up a 256K RAM disk, so adjust the length of the bar until the figure reads 256K. And let go of the mouse. Well, we won't spend any more time with the Task Manager now, but you might like to find out more about the sections of memory you can control with it after this session's over. For now, though, let's close down the Task Manager window by moving up onto the Close icon and clicking on it. And let's start using the RAM disk. Move down and click on the RAM disk icon to open a directory display for it. So far in this course, we've used two sorts of filing system. ADFS, short for Advanced Disk Filing System, and the Resource Filing System. Notice the title bar here is describing this window as the root directory, that's the dollar sign, of the RAM disk filing system, which is the third major RISC OS filing system. The RAM filing system behaves very much like the disk filing system, but it uses the computer's memory for storage instead of a magnetic disk. Well, this has a number of implications. For one thing, it's quick, because there are no moving parts, so copying, for example, is almost instantaneous. On the other hand, the contents of RAM memory disappears when you switch the computer off, so it's not safe as anything other than a temporary storage area. One very obvious advantage, especially if you've only got a single disk drive, is when you need to copy the same files to a number of different disks. Now, you can do that with a single disk drive by swapping the disks around, as we saw earlier, but it would involve a lot of disk swapping. But let's see how much easier it is with a RAM disk. We'll copy the application Puzzle from the App2 directory of the application disk onto the guide copy disk, using only the single drive :0. First of all, put your working copy of the application disk into the drive, then click on the :0 drive icon to open a directory display for it. Now double-click on the App2 directory icon with Adjust, and if you need to, drag their title bars so that you can see both windows on screen at once, without overlaps. Move into the App2 window, and use Select to press and hold on Puzzle. Now drag the outline across into the RAM disk window, and let go. And the new copy of Puzzle appears within seconds. And now to make the copies. First of all, close the App2 window. Then replace the disk with the guide copy disk and open a window for that disk. Now to finish the job. Again, if you need to, move the windows apart. Well, on this occasion, we're only going to make one copy of Puzzle, and you already know the principles of copying. But let me show you something different. Instead of a simple copy, hold down one of the shift keys on the keyboard. And, still holding it down with one hand, put your pointer on Puzzle in the RAM disk window, and press and hold the Select button. Now drag the pointer across into the Guide Copy Disk window, and let go. As you do, Puzzle appears in the Guide window, and when it's copied, the original puzzle disappears from the RAM disk window. So this time, the Shift-Drag technique has moved the application. It's made a copy and deleted the original. Well, remember, a RAM disk is only temporary. Anything you copy into it will be lost when you switch your computer off. And remember too that a RAM disk can take up a lot of your computer's precious memory, so it's a good idea to reset it to zero when you've finished with it. Well, we started out with the sort of things you can do with any computer, but we're beginning to use features that set an Acorn machine apart from ordinary systems. Although most of the time RISC OS sits quietly in the background, keeping everything running quietly and smoothly, it's clever enough to let you step in and fine-tune the way the system is working any time you like. We haven't asked your computer to do anything very taxing, though, so in the next session we'll be using a much bigger chunk of your computer's memory. And that means you'll need to remove the RAM disk. Move on to the RAM disk icon on the icon bar, click on Menu, and select Quit. The RAM filing system disappears as RISC OS releases the memory for other work. Well, we're nearly at the end of this session, but before we switch off, I want to show you how to close down the computer properly. So far, we've simply switched the machine off at the end of each session, but as your work becomes more complicated, as you start running more applications simultaneously, for example, it becomes more important to know the proper and safe procedure. Use Menu to click on the Acorn Task Manager icon, and notice that the final menu item is Shut Down. Shut Down is the correct RISC OS procedure to use when you're about to switch the computer off. Shut Down makes sure that any applications still running, which you may have forgotten about, are properly closed, and it will warn you if there's any unsaved data you might want to keep. Notice too that you can call Shut Down with another function key combination, this time Control and Shift and F12. Well, let's try that. First, get rid of the menu by clicking somewhere on the pin board. Now hold down Control and a Shift key together, and still holding them, press F12. The screen clears, and you get a message confirming that it's okay to switch off. So, take out the disk, then switch off the monitor and the computer itself. And before we continue, take another break.